You're listening to CITR FM 101.9, and Bryce has done the kindness of letting us off early because we've got a special guest in the studio today for Helen's Hut. Yes, I am Helen G, and you just heard the theme song, and we have Ralph and Murgy in the other studio. And Ian Gunn, our news director, is also helping me out with our interview, and people are rushing around, so I'm just stalling, but perhaps now we can say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Helen.
Ian was almost locked out, I want you to know.
There's this weird combination thing on the door, and I was punching the wrong numbers.
Ian, you should know better.
Well, I'm out of breath.
I was tempted to just hear him banging on the door for the whole time. Between you and me, Helen. Just get me out. That would have been fun.
Right. Well, Mr. Ben Murgy is over there in the meat locker along with Ian, our studio.
We're all locked up in here, and we can't get out. You realize you're not allowed out of here for 18 minutes or something.
That'll do.
Okay.
I can live with this.
Okay, well, should I call you Mr. Ben Murgy, or should I call
you
Ralph?
God, no, that's like what people at McDonald's call me.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Ralph is good for me. Yeah. I'm not that old, am I?
No. Well,
maybe I am. I used to work at CKLN in Toronto, the campus station there. I was the news director.
Well, there we go. Yeah. So you mean I can have my own Friday night CBC TV show
yes,
in
you can.
10 years' time?
All this could be yours.
Wow. I'm
scary, isn't it?
It's very, very scary. Yeah. It's very scary. Well, I don't know. I guess let's chat about all kinds of things. I
mean,
we got you for a couple minutes, and
go ahead, ask me anything.
So this thing tonight, which is it's called Friday Night with Ralph Ben Murgy, Scouts Vancouver.
You know, that word "scouts" I find rather unfortunate.
It's be prepared.
Well, no, it's sort of I find it sort of like the kind of thing where I'm supposed to stand there in black robes and you know, say yes you and no you. No, I'm here because any excuse to come to Vancouver is fine by me. Family out here, and I like being out here, and we just wanted to get away from the whole sort of machine that supplies you with possible people to be on the show, you know, the record companies and stuff like that, and just go and see people performing in their own area, doing their own thing, and it's great. I mean, a lot of these people I know, and some of them I haven't ever seen or heard, so for me it's just I want to celebrate with a bunch of people and see what's happening.
Yeah. So the stuff I get to read here says that you're going to do the odd monologue in there in between, I guess, kind of like you do on the show. You started off in doing some stand-up stuff, didn't you?
I used to do, for 10 years I did stand-up.
Wow.
Yeah, I used to come out to punchlines when there was no Yuck Yucks out here. I did a lot of stand-up, but I'm not going to be, I'm certainly not in any kind of frame of mind to get up there and kill them with jokes. You know, I'm just there to hang out and
have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's no big deal for me. I mean, in terms of doing this, this is like, we don't have a show this Friday night because there's some track and field meet or something. So this is like a week off. I'm relaxing, and they can do all the energy stuff, and I'll just hang out with everybody and play pool in the back.
Excellent. So you're now working in TV, but you were in radio for, like you said, you were at CKLN for a while, and then you did CBC for a while. So why did you leave this great medium of radio to that silly fad TV thing? I mean,
He says it now, and one day you'll see Ian on television, and you'll think, ha, joke's on you, pal. Well, you know, it was really just a question of what I was able to do on television. I did a show called Midday before I did this, and it was purely because I was doing a certain kind of work in radio. I was doing a lot of entertainment journalism and stuff, and after a while I got really fatigued talking to the same people all the time, so it was an opportunity to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
So I did it. I don't care which medium it is on that level. I just want to do good work and have a good time. I like radio more than I like television. It's not a secret or anything. I prefer to work in radio, but there wasn't any kind of a program that I thought I could do there at the time that was going to do a, you know, really something I wanted to do. So I'll do some TV for now, but I have this great idea for a show. Tell me what you think of this. It's a radio show.
Okay.
I live on Salt Spring or Pender or Galliano, depending, because from what I hear, Salt Spring is turning into, like, you know, Richmond. It's getting nuts.
It is.
But nonetheless, I live someplace like that. We get a nice broadcast quality bell line to Vancouver where they can engineer the show. I get to do a live show from the Gulf Islands every night for 2 hours on CBC and call it Songs from Another Planet. What do you think?
Sounds great.
I know. I tried it on them once, and they all looked at me like I had to be joking. Like, why would we let you be that happy? But I'm hoping that eventually they'll leave me alone and let me do that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. No, I love radio. It has qualities that you don't get on television. Intimacy and substance are easier to get on a radio because the person who's listening has to be active in that. They have to listen. But on the other hand, they can wash the dishes, do their laundry, stand on their head, do their yoga, do whatever they need to do. And television's a much more hypnotic and vegetative state.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
But there's the program you're doing now. I mean, there's a kind of energy there. I mean, you have to get up there and sort of be pumped up in the whole things. In kind of a way, I assume that things like Primetime and Summerside and stuff that you did on the radio didn't quite require. Do you have to get up there and be this bundle of energy?
No, not really. I mean, I think for me as a broadcaster, the only thing I try to do is be as much myself as possible, because I think people only resonate and understand human beings, not. Like when you watch somebody do the news and they're doing the news like this.
Exactly.
And they're not really being themselves. They're trying to be what they think they should be. I try to stay away from that no matter which medium I'm in, no matter what I'm doing, because I think that if people can see real people doing things, then they can find their way in. And for me, the thing about the show is to be able to be calm and collected. And it took a while to get there because there was so much uptightness and pressure around me doing it. At the beginning, everyone was like, this better work, man. And I was like, hey, relax, you know. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these people I really believe in. I want to have them on the show, and let's just take it easy. And what's happened over the course of the year is that it's found a calm. I had Bob Boston call me, though. Some people might remember him from String Band and things like that. He called me in my hotel room today, or I returned his call. And he said he found that the opening to our show is much too hyper and much too crazy.
And he
wishes it would relax more. And that the joke monologues weren't working for him. And in the last 4 weeks, I haven't done a joke monologue. I've done a topic monologue, or I did a gospel send-up of saying goodbye to Brian Mulroney. So some of these things you come to naturally, and other times you really need people's constructive help because they are at home and you are in the middle of it. So I've found that over the year, I've learned an enormous amount about how to do this and not turn into a raving lunatic. And I think I've actually become calmer as opposed to more uptight as the year's gone on. So I'm happy about that, or else I would have just quit, because I'm not into making myself unhappy. I mean, it's just a gig.
Yeah.
You know, let's not get carried away.
It's great that you can take that kind of attitude, because there must be enormous pressure, because, I mean, the CBC had their whole new sort of look to their night and stuff, and you guys were a big part of that. And were hyped up as being this great new Friday night show.
Well, I think that was a real mistake, hyping us up like that, because it was like putting us on a pedestal and waiting to see if anybody would take a swipe. And, of course, all the media hacks took their best swipes.
But I don't know, the reaction's been reasonably favorable, hasn't it?
It has been everywhere except in Toronto, my hometown. That really hurt me, because it is my hometown, and I know that it's a sport in Canada to put Toronto down, but, I mean, my family lives there, my friends for my whole life live there, and I don't put down Estevan if people are from Estevan. So it kind of was hurtful for me at first that people would be mean to, because it was personal, you know, they were calling me a goof, and I was like, hey, you know, relax, I'm just trying to do a show that's that we can be proud of. But I got through the other side of that when we got into the new year, and I started becoming quite proud of what we were doing. From Bruce Coburn's show on, which was in January 1st, I have felt that we've gotten control of ourselves and are really doing the show we believe in now. And so once I got that pride in what we were doing, you have the Atlantic Jazz Box Collection. That's a very good collection.
We have some amazing things in here.
I know. I hope don't steal records if you work here. Don't steal records. It's selfish.
They don't steal records anymore, do they, Helen?
They steal CDs.
No, they only steal CD players.
Players.
And players, we had one of those go.
It's very democratic of you to let them go like that. But anyways, we're just trying to make sure we do something, because I think that we're doing a show that's really celebratory. You know, I mean, it's all Canadian, and there's no problem. I mean, there were people who said, why would you do that? There's not enough talent in the country. And I just thought, are you crazy? Because I've been all over the country, and I've been in being a performer for a long time. So to me, it was just a fantastic opportunity to do it this way. And I think people are constantly surprised by who they see. And we started off, a lot of our stuff is more mainstream, we thought. And then we realized people, for instance, had never seen Spirit of the West on a television program.
Yeah.
Had never seen even Randy Bachman being interviewed. They'd never seen simple things like that. So you realize you have to sort of start somewhere. I'm not going to start doing No Means No and all that stuff right away, because you got to first get everybody into the idea that Canadian is fine, and then you push the envelope a bit. And that's one of the reasons I'm here, is to start looking at the alternatives as well, because it's it's a mix, the show, you know? It's like putting together a set of music. You don't just get five thrash bands in a row. You try to get some hills and valleys in there, you know, so that they know that if they're listening to thrash, you'll give them a break at the other end of it and play something that's, you know, Frank Sinatra with Count Basie, and then you mix it up a bit. I mean, more eclectic, really.
Yeah, because certainly TV's had a bit of a void there for the last while. Like, there hasn't been any sort of outlet for that kind of thing.
There hasn't been a show like this in Canada for 17 years, since Peter Zosky.
Yeah, there's that 90 Minutes Live thing.
But that was 17 years ago, which makes me feel very old.
You remember it?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I remember being a comic, and I remember standing on the side while somebody else did a warm-up.
Yeah.
And I remember it clearly, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. But that's 17 years and no tradition of it, no blueprint, no people with experience in the field. So we've had to learn a lot in the first year.
Yeah.
And my head hurts now from learning so much.
Oh, dear.
I'm full. My head is full.
Well, we should give you a break.
Is there a question
there?
A break? Yes, absolutely. Are you going to play somebody who's going to be on tonight?
Yeah, I thought I would. I thought I have Memory Day queued up, and we have some Memory Day CDs to give away, so...
But not CD players.
No CD players.
And we're running out of those.
Have you got a good Ralph Benmergui question for people to answer? Or
a good Ralph Benmergui? Yeah, what does Benmergui mean? And it actually means something. I'm a Spanish-Moroccan Jew, and Benmergui does mean something. If you can guess what Benmergui means...
man who's
I can get the first
You and
first
six other people will get in free.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, if you can get it.
Memory Day.
Okay, now remember. Yeah, the number is 822-3017. And here's Memory Day with 1,000 Miles. Okay, that was Memory Day off the Jenkins Farm CD, and we heard the very first track, 1,000 Miles. And nobody has phoned in, partly because I gave the wrong phone number. You should phone 822-2487, and then you get us.
This number is not in service. Please check the number.
I think people are frightened.
Is it too hard, Helen?
I think it's too hard, but you know, all you have to do is say to the listeners... Well, first of all, I think, don't be afraid to be creative, right?
That's right. I mean...
Doesn't have to be right.
Okay, I'll give them a hint. Ben, obviously, is son of. So all you have to do is fill in son of what... And I know what you're thinking, and I want you to stop that kind of thinking. It can be really painful to your own karma. So just think of something that's son of something, and you may get it right. And if you don't get it right, eventually we'll just pick somebody and say you get in free with your friends anyway. Because we're like that now, aren't we?
That's right.
And please return the CD players.
Absolutely.
I'm very upset about that.
Thank you.
Please return them. It's not funny.
It's sad.
It is sad.
Let's go find them. Where
and the
400
plus CDs that have gone with them over the last...
Shame, oh shame. Right. Isn't shame an awful feeling?
It is. I'm so glad I've never felt it.
But it's a motivator. It's a real motivator, I find. So son of what?
Son of what?
Ben what Murray. Was your guess? Son of what?
Son of the I don't know, what did I guess? The honeypot cleaner or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And Helen, what was your guess when you first heard Benmergui? Son of what?
Son of Mergui.
Helen. Well, that would be right, wouldn't it?
Mergui yes, being would. A prominent member of the Moroccan... Jewish
no, see,
community.
It's not
That's
fair
right.
because I know the answer now, so I'm...
I've told you the answer because you seem so worried for the listeners.
That's right. Well, I was concerned.
You usually like that? Do you usually take care of people that way?
I do.
Helen is. She's
and,
a, she's
and
a generous...
And they treat me well in return.
You're a nurturer?
Yes,
she certainly
absolutely.
Is.
And Ian, you?
No, I hate everybody.
In fact,
I'm a cynic.
Speaking of nurturing...
All news people pretend they're cynics. Yes?
Ian, I have to interrupt here.
Do
but
you
see, Ralph, on my show, I used to do cooking.
Oh, yes.
And I used to cook... Well, not quite live, but I used to tape myself at home with a guest.
Right.
So I was thinking that I really have to ask you some sort of a food question.
Okay.
So I could ask you about a restaurant, but I think I'd rather just ask you what you like to cook at home.
What do I like to cook at home? I have two young children, 6 and 3. And for those out there with young children, you'll realize
Kraft dinner and hot dogs.
Their palate is truly astoundingly dull. So what has happened is that our cooking skills at home have atrophied to the point where we just make what they'll eat, because we try to actually make really clever things, and then they look at the cauliflower in the souffle or something and just say, Daddy, what's that? And then just throw it at me, or just drop it on my plate. So what we're trying... Actually, the only thing I can say is lately we've been trying to get away from obvious stuff and trying to get them to eat things. My 3-year-old said he liked hot sauce one day when he saw me using it. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, Chaz, here you go. I gave him some hot sauce. And he took the first bite, and he didn't even react. So my wife and I just kept eating. And then all of a sudden, we just heard, and that's it for the hot sauce. He's back to ketchup. They put ketchup on everything. You know, you could make the best possible meal, and they'll just throw ketchup on it.
Yeah.
And lately, I will admit, as politically unpopular as it is, I have been enjoying a steak every once in a while. Yes, real red meat. You know, but that's all right. This politically correct stuff's getting really boring anyway. Yeah,
that's all right. You're talking to somebody who snuck off to the Keg last summer. So.
Ooh, the Keg, where they sing happy birthday to people indiscriminately.
And we had a waiter named Foxy. So
yeah, hi, my name's Foxy. I don't want to know your name. Just give me the food and we'll just get through the meal. And don't sing to me or I'll run.
Yeah. I've got a good friend who works at the Keg and they call everybody out. I mean, he works behind
the bar.
No,
I know. It's humiliating.
They call everybody out to sing happy birthday. They hate it as much as this.
I don't get that. I mean, really. My wife tried to do that once. She tried to have a gorilla show up and sing to me at a Greek restaurant, and I fleed from the room, moussaka dropping from my lips. I ran from the room.
Dear. So the gig tonight is on at the venerable Town Pump.
That's right.
And
hey, did you see the show last week? If you didn't, it's okay.
Friday night?
Yeah,
I did.
Did you see the ending with John James? He's a funk R&B guy, 70s stuff, and we had an 18-piece band up there. And we said, hey, folks, let's dance. And we were worried that people wouldn't want to, you know, the whole Canadian Reserve thing. All 300 people got up and onto the dance floor. It was fantastic.
Excellent.
18 pieces. It was so cool. 5 horns, 2 drummers. Haven't seen that since the Allman Brothers, you know?
Yeah.
I am old. Has anybody here ever played the Allman Brothers?
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
By mistake.
That's right. That's right. I thought it was the Allspice Brothers, man. Yeah. All right.
So that must be a huge studio in that fancy new complex.
It's huge. It took me 4 weeks to find anybody, really. You know, it was so big that it actually was a problem for me to try to make it intimate, you know. It's like, if I'm on one side of it, I can't talk to the band on the other side of it. I have to sort of cut through the forest to find them. I didn't know I had a band for a while. But now, actually, it feels much smaller to me, and we're much more comfortable with it.
Because who are those people in that band? I've seen a couple of familiar faces, and there's Matt Zimbel,
who's from Manteca, and his drummer, Charlie Cooley, in the back there. That's also the Manteca drummer. The other people, a guy named Doug Wild on keyboard, who can write a song in a day. It's unbelievable. For their audition, they wrote 20 minutes of original music in 3 days.
Wow.
And then we walked in and they played it. So Doug Wild, who's rather prolific and a great keyboard player, Colin Barrett on bass, he's a session player around town, and a real estate agent.
Oh, really?
You have to pull him off the phone. He's making deals with people. It's really upsetting. Neil Chapman on guitar. And Neil used to be in a band called the Paca Orchestra, which you may have tapes of around
yes,
here.
Yes,
every man and woman is a star. Great stuff. So Neil's in the band. He also played with the Satellites for a while and things like that. And who am I missing? Janet Munson on fiddle and accordion. We really wanted to make sure we had fiddle and accordion because we thought when we were putting the band together, we didn't want to have a band like Arsenio, you know, with a bunch of oh too happy people and synthesizers.
Yeah,
boinking their way through the show, so to speak.
So to speak.
Ian, you know, your mind... It needs some work. Okay? It's four times so far. You've immediately thought of the worst possible thing.
I do that.
But you look so innocent. I'm amazed. Anyway, so we have Janet Munson, and she played with a guy named Lenny Gallant out in PEI and in Halifax. And with her, we really get what we think is a Canadian sound, believe it or not. There is a Canadian sound. We have it, and we're not letting it go.
Keeping it hostage.
We have the technology.
In Toronto.
Yeah. I think, and Tabby Johnson is our voice.
Yeah, I was going to ask her about that, because she's kind of this powerhouse at the beginning, standing there and waving her arms.
She's our psychotic Earth Mother, is what she is. You know, some people hate her, and some people love her, but I like that. I mean, if you can provoke any kind of a reaction
response,
from people, at least somebody's doing something, because you have something to love or hate. But yeah, I like her a lot. She's really cool.
Great. Well, do we have another tune there?
We do. We also had 2 callers.
Oh, what'd they say?
2. Both are listeners.
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, it was evenly distributed between the sexes, so that was good. The first one, the guess was either son of woman, son of God, or son of life.
Son of God? I'm Jewish. We don't have a son of God. And
the other one is son of a goat or camel herder.
Son of a goat or camel. Okay, I'll tell you what it was. The next person who phones wins. Or maybe the camel herder does. Or maybe they're being racist.
I'm never sure. It's flashing.
Is it flashing? Pick it up now and ask them what their thought was. Come on. I want to hear it.
Can you patch them through?
Hello?
Pizza, pizza. No, who is it?
Fine, thanks. Well, hang on a second.
Who is it? Pass them through. We have the technology.
Would you like me to
Yes, I'd like to speak to this person.
Stick them on through.
Okay.
You just got to push a push.
Oh, come on, Helen. Okay. It's not that hard.
Oh,
Or did they steal the patcher?
No, they didn't, but you wouldn't believe the
Who
technology.
Who is they? You ever notice that they is what people always say?
Nardwar!
You know, Nardwar!
Have you met Nardwar the human surf yet?
Can you come
on? He's an institution
here on
the West Coast.
Oh, I've actually heard of... I literally have heard of Nardwar the human
surf. I bet you've heard of Nardwar.
I did. Somebody told me before I left that he would be at the station, that he was a
He does. He
is Nardwar around?
Yep, there's Nardwar.
Nardwar is
the human serviette.
Nardwar, yes, Nardwar is the human serviette.
Nardwar, can you patch us through? There's a phone call.
Can you put us on air? Put the caller on air, yeah.
This is live radio. You could never do this on
you could,
eating
sure
up
you
network.
You couldn't have done this on whoever you were with this morning, right?
You mean CBC Radio with Paul Sullivan?
It's
much more tightly formatted. You'll get there. Don't worry. One day it'll be your life. You can laugh all you want now. Sneer.
Well, I'm enjoying it while I can, because someday we got to make
a living.
Make a living.
That's right.
There's a student loan thing, which some guy with no neck named Vinny is going to come knock on my door and say, I'm from the bank.
Okay.
I have a request.
You have a request?
Wait a minute. You got to guess what Ben Mergie means.
What means?
Ben Mergie.
Ben Mergie?
Yeah, and the hint is it's son of something. It's my last name. You got to guess it. Ben Mergie. What do you think it means?
Son of flogged cow?
Son of what?
Flogged cow?
Is that a North American origin?
Yeah, it's like McPherson. No, it's from, I'm a Spanish Moroccan Jew. I mean,
really?
Yeah, if that's okay.
No, that's cool.
All right, good. Yeah, it's not that. You know what it really means?
What?
It means son of a sour man.
Really?
Yes.
Sour man, flogged cow.
Same thing. Yeah, it depends on the day. Depends what mood you catch them in.
Right.
Yeah, so what's your request?
Well, it's a Vancouver band.
I know, I'm going to see a Vancouver showcase tonight at the Town Pump, and you just won some tickets to it, so what's the request? Yeah.
My request is Honey.
Honey?
Honey. Nardwar knows about them, or whatever his name is.
Nardwar.
Nardwar, not Nardvark.
Aardvark.
That's an animal.
Yeah, well...
With a sinus condition.
You know, the guy that talks anyway.
The human serviette.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's Honey. They were on your showcase.
Is that Bobby Goldsboro? Remember
no.
that? No, you too. See the tree, how big it's grown? You're too young. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
23.
Okay.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
Congratulations, I'm happy. Are you a student here at the university?
No, I'm not. I'm a wannabe.
You want to be a student at the university?
Yeah.
Bad move.
What do you want to take when you get here?
I don't know. Well, actually, I guess I'm not a wannabe.
Yeah, you got to focus in, big guy. I mean, if you want to be in something, you should do it.
Yeah.
Are we eating up valuable station time now?
I think we're eating up your valuable time.
Yeah, Miss Lucy Goosey, Miss Whatever Happens Happens is telling us it's over.
Okay,
fine,
well,
Helen.
Wait a sec. Do you guys have honey?
Yeah, we do.
You do.
We do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right on.
We'll play it then.
Okay.
Well, I think first of all, we'll do somebody who is playing tonight. This is Art Bergman.
Okay, bye. Okay? I'm leaving now.
And it's Swamp Food Thing. Thanks, Ralph. It was really nice having you.
Thank you.
Do
nice
a lot of people
had.
Think that Ben is your middle name?
They call me Ben. Hi, Ben. And they get really mortified and embarrassed, but relax. It's no big deal.
Okay.
You know? So goodbye, and I'll see you at the Town Pump. And thanks, Ian.
No problems.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Helen.
It was a pleasure.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Thanks.
Bye.